This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, we have an all-star lineup. Former NFL running back Craig James joins me for a conversation on the threat to religious liberty and why he has joined the FRC team. And the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee voted this week to hold former IRS official Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress. Congressman Jim Jordan, a standout member of the committee, has the details. Also, Senator Mike Lee demanded answers from the Secretary of the Air Force on Thursday about when the service was going to come into compliance with the law on religious freedom. What did the Secretary say? Senator Lee tells us later on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about all of today's topics and our guest. You can also sign up for my daily update right there on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Sign up for that daily update. Keeps you informed Monday through Friday on issues affecting faith, family, and freedom. Well, as many of you know, we have covered extensively on the program the situation regarding fired Fox Sports Southwest football analyst Craig James. After just one appearance on the program, Craig was let go to only find out later it was because of his support for natural marriage. During his run for the Senate in Texas 18 months earlier, Craig was asked about his view on the issue of marriage. As a Christian, he upheld the biblical definition of marriage. Well, little did he know that answer would cost him his job. He's been fighting back legally, but now has decided to make that fight permanent by joining the FRC team. Craig joined me earlier in the week to talk about joining the team and his fight for faith, family, and freedom. Joining me now is former NFL running back with the New England Patriots and the newest member of the FRC team. Craig, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. What a privilege and honor it is to join your organization. You guys were so kind to me during this initial process that I've been through and the journey that I'm on with the Fox Sports Group and holding them accountable. And so y'all been in the business of it, and God put this boulder in my path and said, all right, Craig, you're in the game too.
Did you ever anticipate anything like this?
Now, how can you? I mean, I've said to some folks that it felt like a sucker punch.
Yeah.
That someone would call you, offer you a job, and then fire you the next day, and then say your position on marriage, your biblical belief, wouldn't work in our HR department. That's just a sucker punch.
Of course, Fox Sports Southwest has been very busy since then, like a cat in a sandbox, trying to cover this thing up. But the paper trail is there.
Yeah, it's absolutely there. And then all the email chain that we've discovered now to this point, we see the folks, including the Fox Sports president, Eric Shanks, they had the subject matter of the Craig James gay community controversy. They can't get away from it. But see, they're dealing with someone that God's prepared to stay focused and on track with. I'm not going to let them get away from what happened and distract from the real occurrence.
Well, Craig, let me ask you, what have you learned in this process besides the fact that people are quick to cave when there's a little bit of outside pressure? But when you were running for the Senate, and I was a candidate for the Senate about 10 years earlier in Louisiana, this was the same primary in which Ted Cruz was in. You're asked a question from a potential constituent of where you stand on an issue, and you answer it honestly. Isn't that the way the process is supposed to work?
Yeah, it's supposed to work like that, and they deserved an honest answer from me, as you did in your campaign. But what they've failed to realize is that I have the ability and the freedom in this country still, under the Constitution, to have and hold dearly that biblical belief. And to me, that's the most glaring thing. It's not about me.
Right.
This isn't my message. This is the message that there's an individual in America who has been prejudiced, who has been persecuted, and we've got to stand up and not allow that to happen.
It's more widespread than people think. I mean, I'm sure as you started down this path, as you said, a sucker punch, you didn't see it coming. But this has become a real crusade from those on the left to silence anyone who would challenge this new sexual orthodoxy that they're putting out there.
So we're walking into the territory of it, us with this belief becoming haters, hate speech, right? And I've been around the country now and spoken and seen a lot of different people, and I'm hearing from a lot of employees like me who are afraid to have their boss know or learn about their biblical belief. So they're quiet about it. And I just think we need to encourage in a loving, compassionate manner. I listen to your show all the time, and you talk about that. We believe in the Bible. And we're not apologetic about any of that stuff, right? We believe in 100% of the Bible, and the Bible tells us to love and to have a compassionate heart, which we have. But the other side who doesn't believe that do not want us to be around. They want to wipe us out and finish us off, and that's not acceptable.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Craig James, the newest member of the FRC team. He joins us this week. He's actually in studio here in Washington, D.C. You're going to hear more from him here on the program as as time goes by. This whole issue of attacking people, calling them bigots, calling them homophobes, simply because, as you said, we're to speak the truth in love, and Francis Schaeffer said this so well in his writings about we speak the truth in love, but we speak the truth nonetheless. We cannot compromise the truth, but we cannot just speak truth without love, because I don't believe it can be truth without love. But too many Christians are shrinking back because they're afraid to be called a name.
As I ran for office, one of the things that came really clear to me is that we do have a fiscal crisis in this country, mm-hmm. and we all recognize that economically. But the moral decay of our country, that's the real apparent thing to me, the cultural shift that we have and the move away from God. I can't figure out why America's in such a hurry to run from God. I mean, we ran to God when we came to this country trying to seek for His guidance and His wisdom. And so I really believe that if we can get back to the Ten Commandments— it's a pretty good playbook, right? How mm-hmm. to treat ourselves, how to respect and love the Lord. And if we can get back to that and a true revival in this country, if that occurs, we have a chance. If we don't get on the knees and bow and ask and seek once again God's forgiveness and direction, I think we're in trouble.
Yeah, there's some folks out there that would laugh at that, say, oh, yeah, you're just trying to impose these religious rules on people. I was thinking about this the other day with all the stuff that's happening in our schools. Let's just take the schools, for example. I mean, again, this week, another tragic event in a high school, stabbing that takes place, a slashing of over a dozen students. We come up with all these rules that they try to impose, no bullying, no this, no that. You know what? The Ten Commandments covers it.
Amen.
That we are to love our neighbor.
Yeah.
In fact, you just sum it up in the two that Jesus put forth. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and the second one's like unto it. You love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. That pretty much covers it.
Yeah. And not to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged too. The Lord tells us not to judge others. That's His business. And I think the wisdom that He had in that is if He'd have left it up to us to judge, we would be in complete chaos in this country and in this world. So I think those who don't believe in the Lord should hope that we do turn and bow and go back to God, because that then is better for them. Because there will be love, right?
It's better for everyone. Yeah. A nation that is guided, as we've seen for 238 years, a nation that's guided by biblical principles, even those who don't embrace the principles benefit from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it that prompted you to want to join the FRC team, to be here? Of all the places you could go and the things that you could do, that you would want to be here at this time doing what it is we're doing?
Well, so this goes back to the 1st of December last year before Christmas. And Marilyn, my wife, she asked me, she goes, Craig, what are you really passionate about? What do you really want to do? And so a couple of things have occurred in my life. I started in seminary in Dallas Theological Seminary in January. I wanted to become as grounded and as knowledgeable as I possibly could be in the Word of God. Number two, I wanted to get out and to be a part of the discussion and to support those who had supported me. Mm-hmm. The Family Research Council was part of that support staff. And all the people who listened to you and follow you guys, they rallied. They sent notes and emails. And I said, okay, God, I get it, man. You've put this boulder in my path for a reason. You've prepared me for a reason for this, to speak first person about the persecution taking place in this country. And so when I called and I planted the seed with you guys, I said, hey, I don't know if y'all have an interest, but I have a strong interest in joining you guys. It would be an honor and a privilege, and the timing and the way God makes things happen. When it's His plan and it's His idea, things come together.
Well, we're glad you are on the team, Craig. We appreciate the stand you've taken, and we will stand. And I made this promise to pastors a number of years ago, because I saw pastors standing up and getting hammered. And we went on the road, and I've shown up in a lot of places to stand with pastors. And I said, as long as I'm here, there's not a pastor in America that will stand alone in defending biblical truth. And the same thing is true for those that are willing to stand and take the heat. And it is what we talk about. I close the program every day from Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul tells us that we're to stand. And that's a military term in the Greek, that we're to stand our ground unyielding to anything that comes our way. And so when we find someone that is being barraged by the enemy for standing, for whatever reason, they're standing for the biblical truth, we're going to stand with them. And more we're seeing folks across the country stand up, and we appreciate you standing up, being an example.
I'd far rather please God than I had the world, and that's y'all's mission as well. Faith, family, and freedom is so important, and we've been blessed, and the ability to join the fight is an honor.
Well, the return on pleasing God is much better than pleasing man.
It is.
Craig James, welcome to FRC, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Again, that was Craig James, the newest member of the FRC team. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, folks, when we come back, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio talks with us about the actions this week on Capitol Hill to hold Lois Lerner, the IRS official, in contempt of Congress. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
President Obama has proved himself willing to violate the public trust we placed in him as chief executive. Whether it's his overreach in the Affordable Care Act or his political appointees at the IRS targeting conservative groups, here at FRC, we are concerned. Such dishonest and unethical behavior will have grave implications on the things we hold dear: the protection of human life, the health of the family, and religious liberty. For more information, visit frc.org/abuse of power.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about all of today's topics, find out more about our guest, and you can visit them online by going to TonyPerkins.com. Well, one of the comments I receive a lot as I travel the country and as I talk to some of our listeners on our daily program is, when are the Republicans going to start fighting back against the lawlessness of this administration? Well, it now looks like they are. This week, the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee voted to hold the former IRS official Lois Lerner in contempt of Congress. Well, that is a pretty significant step. And joining us to talk about it this week was Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. And this is what he had to say during the committee hearing on Thursday.
The only route to the truth is through the House of Representatives. That's what Madison was talking about, because we know this. The investigation of the Justice Department is a complete joke. The FBI, on January 13th this year, the FBI leaks to the Wall Street Journal, no one's going to be referred for prosecution. The president on Super Bowl Sunday said there's no corruption, not even a smidgen. The person heading the investigation, Barbara Bosserman, gave $6,750 to the president's campaign, the Democrat National Committee, a max-out contributor to the president's campaign. And just this week, on Tuesday, in the Judiciary Committee, I asked Eric Holder, have you looked into the leak that the FBI gave to the Wall Street Journal? Have you investigated that? And his response, no, I haven't.
Well, joining me now with the latest on this situation is the representative from the 4th Congressional District of Ohio and a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee who asked that question this morning, Jim Jordan. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony.
Now, I know you were getting ready for that hearing. I was actually with you earlier this morning as a wrestler. You were kind of getting ready to go in the ring there, and it sounds like you were pretty fired up by the time you got there.
Well, I mean, as the clip you played, look, we know the Justice Department investigation is a joke. John Costin, the new IRS commissioner, has said it may take as long as 2 years to get Lois Lerner's emails, and Lois Lerner won't talk to us. So we have to use every tool at our disposal to get to the truth so that the American people can find out what happened, because this was about such a fundamental right, your right to political speech under the First Amendment. And so this tool is available. We need to exercise it. We did in the committee. We will do it on the full House vote when we come back from the Easter break. And let's hope Lois Lerner actually will sit down and answer our questions.
You know, Congressman, I get the sense, and I've been on the Hill pretty much every day this week, and you know, as we were talking earlier this morning, but as I have watched some things happen this week and talk with different members and even in the leadership, have we turned a corner?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I hope that at some point the Justice Department will actually do what a Justice Department is supposed to do, enforce the law, actually do real investigations, and cooperate with Congress so we can get to the truth. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of faith in Eric Holder. I think as a lot of Americans share that view. What I do know is when you have an attack on the First Amendment, think about the First Amendment, Tony. You got freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of association, freedom of assembly, freedom to speak out in a political nature and criticize your government. That's what was systematically targeted. And that's what's so scary here. And that's why we take this so serious. That's why there's only been a handful of people ever held in contempt of Congress. It's got to be something pretty big.
Yeah.
This is pretty big. This is fundamental. This is of paramount importance. And that's why you saw us take the action we did today. It's not lightly, but when you think about what took place, think about the example of Catherine Engelbrecht, where she had been in business for 20 years. The first 16 years, the only interaction she had with the federal government was filing her annual tax return. And then she starts through the vote with the simple goal of cleaning up elections, making sure people who actually registered to vote and are allowed to vote are the ones voting. And she filed for tax exempt status, and then the full weight of the federal government comes down on her. She gets visited by OSHA. She gets visited by the ATF. She gets visited by the FBI. The IRS audits both her personal and family records for the previous 2 years. The full weight of the federal government. That's wrong. That should never happen in America, and yet it did. And that's why we need Lois Lerner to answer our questions.
You're absolutely right. Let me ask you this, Congressman. You talk about very few people are held in contempt. Well, we have an attorney general who is in contempt of Congress. What actually does that mean to the average listener out there to hear that the attorney general, now an IRS official, potentially in contempt of Congress? What does that really mean?
It means they don't respect a co-equal branch of government. Plain and simple. We subpoenaed records in fast and furious. Eric Holder didn't comply. We held him in contempt. They filed other things in court to slow that process up and to prevent it. Now, when it's happened before, in the last 30-some years, I believe there's been 6 people held in contempt. Those weren't the Attorney General. Those weren't the head of the Justice Department. Those weren't the chief law enforcement officer in the land. Those were other people in different agencies. And in those situations, the statute says if Congress finds them in contempt, that the U.S. Attorney shall take it to shall is the key word, take it to a grand jury. The grand jury is going to say yes. Then it goes to a judge, and it's the judge's call. And that's where we are with this individual. In most of those cases, judges have ruled in, this is the good news, I think, have ruled in the right direction. And when a person is faced with possible jail time or talking to Congress and complying with Congress's wishes, whether it's documents or coming and testifying, they typically will see the light and do the right thing and come talk. So that's what we hope happens. It's unfortunate we have to get to this point, but as we said before, when you're talking about something this important, you have to use every tool, every means at your disposal to get to the truth.
And I think the American people support you, and at least those who want the truth out there. But is there a risk, Congressman Jordan, in that if you, for instance, you've had the Attorney General in contempt for, what, a year and a half now from Congress, that if there is yet another government official that basically thumbs their nose at Congress and nothing happens, does that not weaken the legislative branch?
That argument can certainly be made, Tony. Let's hope that doesn't happen. This is an option that we have. We think it's warranted. That's why we did it. But I'm nervous, just like I'm sure you are, I know you are, and a lot of your listeners are, about things we have seen from the executive branch that I think trample on the checks and balances and the amazing system our founders put in place that's designed to protect liberty.
Yeah.
And I'm awful nervous about that.
Yeah.
But we have to do our job, and our job says we can, in fact, hold someone in contempt when these kind of circumstances take place, and that's what we did.
Well, let me be very clear, Congressman Jordan. I applaud your committee, you and the committee and Congress for taking these actions, but here's my point. I just hope that Congress, the Republicans in this case, that are basically the ones searching for the truth, will do everything possible to ensure that this doesn't just hang out there and in any way diminish the co-equal branch of government, the legislative branch, because of perception of nobody paying attention to this.
I could not agree more.
All right, Congressman Jim Jordan, thanks for fighting a good fight on Capitol Hill, and obviously this is something we're going to be tracking very, very closely.
Thank you so much, Tony. Take care. Appreciate all your good work.
Again, that was my interview this week with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. To find out more about the work that Congressman Jordan is doing, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Senator Mike Lee of Utah joined us this week as he pressed the Secretary of the Air Force to defend religious liberty. You'll want to hear this interview. Don't go away. We're coming right back with more of the weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this.
We are grateful for our military, for the men and women who have risked their lives so we can be free. Free to speak our minds, to associate, and to practice our faith. Many members of our military have a strong Christian faith, one that supports and motivates their sacrifice. Some of them, however, are facing pressure to abandon that faith. We won't stand for that. We believe their religious freedom is worth protecting. To follow this issue on Facebook or Twitter, find us at #MilitaryFreedom.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, members of Congress in the House and the Senate have pressed Air Force and DOD leadership for answers following an incident last month in which the Air Force Academy took a cadet's Bible verse that was on a whiteboard and made them erase it. Well, specifically, members have sought to understand why religious speech specifically is being restricted in a forum in which other personal opinions have been allowed. Now, members are also seeking to understand why the Air Force continues to rely on a 2-year-old problematic policy that does not reflect the most recent law passed by Congress. Now, Congress clearly outlined their intent to affirm the rights of service members not only to hold a religious belief, but also to express that belief. Well, in March, Senator Mike Lee of Utah had questioned the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, Jessica Wright, in a Senate Military Personnel Subcommittee hearing on the Air Force Academy incident. Well, as usual, answers were in short supply at the hearing, so Senator Lee brought up the topic again this week, this time with the Secretary of the Air Force, Deborah Lee James. Now, notably, Secretary James stated on Thursday that later this month, the Air Force will be convening certain top officials to review the existing problematic Air Force policy and consider changes. Now, this meeting is long overdue and may represent a step in the right direction. Here's my interview with Senator Mike Lee earlier this week. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. It's good to be with you.
Well, Senator, it sounds like a possibly promising answer coming from the Air Force in response to your question today.
Possibly promising, yes. What's frustrating here is the fact that it never had to get to this point in the first place. What all happened here was that this airman cadet at the Air Force Academy wrote a Bible verse on his whiteboard outside of his dorm room. It was something out of the Book of Galatians, professing his faith in Jesus Christ. It was not offensive under any standard, and yet this cadet was pressured by his chain of command to remove that Bible verse, even though the very purpose of these whiteboards outside of each cadet's dorm room is to allow the cadet to express something that motivates him or her, that serves as a source of inspiration for the cadet in question. And this cadet was nonetheless pressured to take this thing down, and it goes against the law. It goes against the provision of law that I got put into last year's Defense Authorization Act as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee that requires the armed services to respect and recognize, defer to the right of freedom of expression, the right to express religious belief, unless that could be shown to interrupt with the military readiness of the armed services. Or somehow disrupt good order and discipline, which in this case it did not.
So it's sad that we had to get to this point in the first place. Had they followed the law, had they followed the Constitution for that matter, we wouldn't be here.
Well, Senator, that I think is the frustrating aspect of this because, as you mentioned, this the amendment that you made to the Defense Authorization Act, something that we worked with your staff on, because obviously you have been a champion on religious liberty issue. That's something we worked closely with you on. But why are they still relying on a two-year-old policy? They haven't even attempted yet to change their policies based upon the changes in the law that were to address these problems. It does cause you to wonder, why does it take Congress to force them to say, hey, look, did you read the law? Are you going to comply with it? You would think they could do that on their own.
Right. You think they could do that on their own. You think on their own they could respect the Constitution. And you think on their own they could at least exercise a modicum of common sense, which should itself be sufficient to tell the military, hey, there's no reason to tell an Air Force cadet that he has to remove a Bible verse from the whiteboard outside of his room.
Well, this is something that we know, Senator, that a lot of Americans are concerned about. Is there anything that our listeners can do to be of help as you continue to press forward on this issue for religious liberty, the members of our military?
You know, I think it's important for all of us as citizens, for all of us who believe in religious freedom, for all of us who believe in the importance of faith in our great nation, to not shy away from expressions of belief, privately and publicly.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be deterred by a government or by an administration that doesn't like religious expressions in the public square. And in fact, we should take a cue from this administration that we need to step it up. And for those of us who are believers, we ought to, with that much more zeal, be willing to step forward and express our faith whenever we feel so moved.
Senator, I think that's great advice. Thanks so much for joining us, and again, thanks for defending religious freedom.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Again, that was Senator Mike Lee of Utah. To find out more and to send Senator Lee a thank you note, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Let me encourage you to do that because Senator Lee has really been fighting hard to defend religious liberty in the military in particular. We work very closely with him and his staff, and it would mean a whole lot if you just simply go over to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over to Senator Lee's site and say thank you for standing up for religious freedom. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Thanks so much for joining us. Let me encourage you again to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics. And while you're there, be sure and sign up for my daily update. Well, that's all we have for this week. Let me encourage you to join us again next week. But until then, remember the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, just keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.